Welcome, everybody, to episode 384 of Sexy Discount, or also known as RP Grinders, episode 384. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosted One himself. Gentlemen,
sexy what? Discount because Jeff's
frosty.
Here.
Frosty. Frosty, yeah. Not frosted.
Well, frosted and frosty go hand in hand, man.
No, they're not. No, they do not.
I gotta change it up every now and again, just to keep you on your toes.
One is I'm cool. One is I've just been subject to a bukkake fest.
Well, there you go. That works, yeah. Too. So there you go.
Considering how many orgies you have, I wouldn't be surprised if you were in a bukkake fest.
The frosted.
Not as a recipient.
The recipient. There you go. All right, gents, how was your week? Let's start with you, Eric.
It was okay, considering, but it got worse on Thursday.
Ooh, well, what happened? Anything?
Stinkos.
Wait till the stinkos. We'll find out what pissed Eric off this week. Breakman, what about you?
Oh, what pissed me off this week? Stinkos, no. Dude. You gotta wait for the fucking... Didn't he just tell you that?
No, I'm just saying. What's going on this
ever
week?
Ever listens.
Yeah, no, nobody
no,
ever
not
listens.
Really. That's a good point.
That's why he hasn't paid us.
Yeah, check's in the mail. I told you, Eric. Jesus.
Yeah, and the post office box that you'll never touch.
What?
Well, I went to the post office, and they said... We've never heard of this Frank Branches, dude.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's in the mail.
So. He's actually the owner of Kickstarter.com, and that's why they can't find his name because it's the wrong name.
Mug, what about you, man? How was your week? All right?
Not so much. Mostly down.
Yeah. I had kind of a shitty week too, man, but we'll get into that later in Stinkos.
We only have one viewer.
Yeah. Oh, well. Grippers in chat. They probably all laugh, man. They're probably like, man, this show's so inconsistent. It's one week one week on the air, one week off the air. What the fuck? But no, I'm
we
sure
were here last week.
Yeah, you guys were there.
We didn't do a live episode though last week, and I think that's what he means.
They've left because it's like, shit, Frank's back this week.
No, just the opposite.
Well, no point in sticking around.
Just the opposite.
Probably why Freak 5 Chaos is in here.
They were disappointed last week, and they're like, I don't want to go through the disappointment of not hearing Frank's sexy, sultry voice next week. That's what happened. So,
yeah, hearing you mispronounce both and wolf.
Get out of here. All right, guys. Let's get started with the news. Eric, lead the news, man. Let's get this shit done and over with.
From Gamatsu, we've got Toho Project RPG, The Genius of Sephiroth, launches for PS Vita in April 28th in Japan. And Sephiroth, yeah.
Yeah, I was like... Say like the Genius of Sephiroth, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I Sephiroth, wouldn't it?
I see what you did there.
I thought this was like a take on Sephiroth.
Well, the original katakana for Sephiroth was Sephirosu.
Yeah,
so I was like the way you said it, I was like,
it has to do with sapphires. Yes.
Yeah.
It sort of looks like Sephiroth.
I only see females, and the Genius of Sephiroth sounds pretty good to me. I'm just saying.
That's Sapphic, not Sapphiric.
Sorry.
Anyways,
you know I can't pronounce shit.
Right.
You just did. It's going to launch for Vita, PlayStation Network only, in Japan, April 28th for 3,000 yen. As Toho Shogenengi in 5, publisher Mediascape and developer Strawberry Rose announced.
Gripper says he's worth at least 100 viewers, and then Dungeon Buster joined right after that comment. So I'm guessing there's a little unspoken rivalry there. So
he must have a hidden skill or something.
Yeah. If Gripper's worth 100, what's Dungeon Buster worth? We'll let him answer that. All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
Says games sees players form party in order to find a resolution to a nuke catastrophe. It's said wrong, but I'm ad-libbing here. But that happened in Gensokyo. Players will challenge a number of formidable foes while traveling to various places in Gensokyo, and Not only will you level up, defeat them, but you'll also come to understand the weaknesses of behavior of your enemies using your allies and their special skills to attain victory.
No.
And it originally launched on the PC in 2010, and the PS Vita version offers widescreen support, just gameplay balance, and new allies and even more post-game side quests. This is side elements, but I'm kind of guessing it's side quests.
Yeah.
It's probably directly translated.
Freak 5 joined us in chat, so everybody's coming in to chat now, which is awesome. Welcome on in, Freak. All right, so I don't know, man. I don't have a PS Vita. I really wish I did, just simply for the fact that I wish I could play a lot of the RPGs on the Vita. The Vita has.
Why are we talking about lesbian porn?
Because I blame Break because the whole Sapphic thing.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get anything.
That's because lesbian porn isn't real lesbian porn, anyways. But
yeah.
That's true.
I like lesbian.
Well, if you're watching something from Vivid Entertainment, yeah, probably. Otherwise, it's hard to find that stuff.
Mm. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
I think Phillies.com is like
not to start with, at least. Mm.
All right, let's move on.
The porn geared towards women. There's a lot of like more romantic lesbian stuff that going down that way.
I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. All right, let's move on to the next.
It's a lot more kissing and holding and touching.
Yeah, Freak's getting a boner in chat. Just talking.
He's getting a little wistful there.
Yeah. All right, Break. Let's move on to the next.
Yeah, get a PSTV, Frank. It doesn't play all Vita games, but it'll play a good deal of them.
I should get a PlayStation TV. That's a good idea.
I should probably get one too. Actually,
they're not going
to. Who wants to buy me one? It's actually a very cheap way to get all of the to get a whole bunch of East games.
Not for long, because they stopped production of the VS Vita in Japan, so it won't be longer before the US version stops production. So it might go up in price if you don't get them now.
Yeah, I mean, and I got one used for $25. I mean, and it's yeah.
Yeah, I got it. That's all dependent on if my Stinko works out within the next few weeks. So we'll talk about that later, guys. All right, let's see, Breakman. Let's go on with the next story.
Coming to us live from Destructoid, because I can say live again. Kingdom Hearts Unchained X. I'm gonna call it X.
Hi.
Should I call it? What's that?
That's supposed to be Kai, because that's the symbol for Kai in the game series.
Kai is the thing in the game. Yeah. Well, the X is the Greek letter for Kai, is how it's spelled.
Where they get it from. I'm going to call it Kingdom Hearts Unchained 10, because this is the Roman X, in my opinion. Launches in North America this week. No prior knowledge of the series is needed. Squinix has announced that Kingdom Hearts Unchained Kai, I guess, the mobile port of its browser-based Kingdom Hearts Kai will be coming to iOS and Android in North America. The announcement was part of an interview with series director Tetsuya Nomura, who explained that what Unchained is and how it fits in the spider's web that is the Kingdom Hearts narrative. Chronologically, Unchained is the very first game in the Kingdom Hearts timeline. Holy shit. Taking place before both the first game and the PSP prequel Birth by Sleep. In an interview, Nomura said that the Unchained doesn't require any previous knowledge for the series to get. Well, you just said it came before all the other ones. Of course you don't need knowledge.
Well, I don't know. Birth by Sleep had a lot of elements from the other games that you'd get lost on if you hadn't played them.
Yeah.
Let's see. What I want to know, we got the Unchained. What I want to know is, did they license the Righteous Brothers?
What?
Like the Unchained.
Did they license music from the Righteous Brothers to get the Unchained melody?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's what you said. Right. You said Righteous Brothers. I didn't hear what you said at first.
Oh, by the way, this game's out now.
Yeah. Yeah, my son has it.
If you're lucky, I might sing it for you.
Oh, my God.
If I had heard you say it originally, I might have laughed.
I thought you were going to say play it. I couldn't understand.
Yeah, you were kind of muffled.
I don't know where the harmonica is right now.
Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Yes,
but tell you what, I'm gonna go buy one that's actually in tune, and I'm gonna learn to play it.
Those things
just
need,
to annoy Frank.
Those things need to be tuned, I didn't know those things were tunable.
Well, it's like I don't know what's up with the one that I've got. It's like I don't know if it's just like some of the little whatever they are inside it are warped or anything, but for whatever reason, like when you're trying to play chords, it's like only the ones like right at only the like the first couple of little holes or whatever at the very bottom of it are like in key in tune with each other. So like you get these weird atonal chords.
Ugh, you know okay. What you should get? You should get one of those one man band get ups. Like where you got the drums and the cymbal and the harmonica and it's all like right so
I can,
on you.
I can be big band from what's it? Skullgirls. Dev, you, speaking of that, you know, like the, there's a move that the character Big Band has in Unchained and Unchained. I'm looking at the thing in Skullgirls where you can actually play music by pressing the buttons. Like by using the it's a 6-button game, but you can do combined button presses to get different notes. Huh. And there's a video out there of someone playing the entire Guile theme from Street Fighter 2 using just that. I'm like, that's a lot of work to learn an instrument that doesn't exist outside of this game.
Exactly.
I mean, it's neat, don't get me wrong, but it's just someone's a savant of some kind or just has no life.
I'm surprised you guys didn't comment on my Unchained Melody song going on.
I didn't even know what it was. So
All right, let's move on to the next story, Mug.
Thanks, Eric. The rest of us feel old.
I really do, man.
what, you never heard of it?
All right, Mug.
That game is out now, so there you go.
And my son has it, and it looks cute. It's like a completely different art style. It's weird. All right.
It looks kind of similar to the art style in the Theater Rhythm games, but not quite.
Yeah, sort of like that. All right, Mug, next story.
All right. Coming to us live from Gamnesia, or Gamnesia, however you're supposed to say it. It's about forgetting nice legs, basically.
Nice.
You can get Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres in the 3DS Pokemon games this May. Pokemon turns 20 this year, and Nintendo and the Pokemon Company have been finding all sorts of ways to celebrate. Several of these have involved going back to the series' roots, such as the re-release of first-generation titles on 3DS, and a new promotion for the official Pokemon newsletter looks to play off that nostalgia even further. For its May issue, the Pokemon Trainers Club newsletter is distributing download codes for the three legendary birds of Generation 1. Articuno, Zapdos and Moltres. I'm probably saying those wrong, but I don't care.
No, they're right.
Not only that, but each of the birds will have their hidden abilities, making them all the more dangerous to anyone who dares challenge your Pokemon mastery, because mastery is all about getting the most powerful stuff. Fortunately, the newsletter is free to sign up, and for anyone who does so by April 2nd will get the May edition. April 22nd. The included codes for these birds will work with any 6th generation Pokemon title, allowing you to grab these legendaries in Pokemon X, Y, Omega Ruby, or Alpha Sapphire. Will you be taking part in this deal? Probably not, because I don't play Pokemon games.
have to tell people, though, that you have to subscribe to the Pokemon Trainers Club before you can subscribe to the newsletter. That's also free, so you don't have to worry.
I have to say, just as an aside, I like the little subtitle thing for the Gamnesia logo. It says "Forget Reality."
Yeah, and I like that.
Very often, I would like to.
Yeah, me too, man. This is something I'd like to forget too. Dungeon Buster says, "Is Frank watching Ghost again?" Dungeon Buster's a beaut, man. And then Freakman says he wishes he was Demi Moore in the pottery scene.
No, he said Frank wishes he was Demi Moore in the pottery scene.
Yeah, like I said.
Brake just said he just wishes he was Demi.
Yeah, right.
In general.
I wish I had Demi.
We know it's because you have a crush on Ashton Kutcher.
I wish I had Demi's tits.
And Bruce Willis.
I'd never.
Wait, what was that statement?
Demi's
tits? He wishes he had you.
Demi's tits.
Yeah, I'd never leave the house, man.
He'd never leave the house. Yeah, yeah,
there you go.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to our next story from Gamatsu. Super Dimension Neptune versus, isn't it Neptunia? Anyways, versus
Sega. Yeah, but they're talking about Neptune specifically.
Ah, versus Sega Hard Girls coming west this fall. Idea Factory International's bringing Super Dimension Neptune versus Sega Hard Girls for the PS Vita.
Call it Sega Hard Girls. That's all you need.
Yeah, based
it's Sega Hard Girls because they're based on the hardware.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. The RPG
just call it Sega Hard Girls in America. You're gonna sell it.
Yeah, exactly.
If the girls are hard, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah, me neither.
Put it in Walmart. It's gonna sell.
The RPG. Wait,
better yet, how about turgid girls?
Oh my goodness, man. The RPG Adventure.
I don't think that would sell as well.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The RPG Adventure puts players in the role of IF or IF, who must take the main stage.
It's IF. After,
all right, IF, who must take the main stage after the Neptunia series' usual heroine Neptune is transformed into a motorcycle. With the help of the Sega Hard Girls, IF or IF will jump, dash, climb, and crawl her way to recover the lost history of the Grand Library. Game promises a quote, intense combat system that allows players to change classes or gain the edge in battle with, quote, fever time. So,
I know someone who's imported the game, and they said the game is just kind of decent. So I don't know, but it being an intense game.
Yeah. I don't
know. And it's already a very niche game, so if he says it's, like, just decent, then it's not great a game.
I'm sorry, turned into a motorcycle?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they kind of
like a transformer or yeah. Like that well, old yeah, cartoon
thing
where that
Neptune
guy used to turn into a car.
Apparently she can turn into things.
Yeah. Yeah, that reminds me of
Transformers. They never explained why she has a transformation ability, but she just does in the games.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. There you go. I was trying to find a Transformer sound effect, and I couldn't do it quick enough. I need a soundboard. I really do. Something really good. All right, let's move on. Breakman.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. 7 Days to Die coming to PS4, Xbox One in June. Well, that's a very happy story. Telltale Games published... Jesus Christ. Start over. Telltale Games publishing branch, Telltale Publishing, is bringing the Fun Pimps PC survival horde crafting game. Survival horde crafting game.
Survival Seven horror, I think. They must have goofed.
Oh, survival horror crafting game. Okay. 7 Days to Die to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One via retail and digital in June for $29.99. Set in a brutally unforgiving post-apocalyptic world overrun by the undead, which is about every video game these days. 7 Days to Die is an open-world survival game, which is about every video game these days. There's a unique combination of first-person shooters, survival horror, tower defense, and role-playing games. It presents combat, crafting, looting, mining, exploration, and character growth in a way that has seen a rapturous response from fans worldwide, generating hundreds of thousands of hours of community content on YouTube and other streaming video
platforms. The only unique thing about this is the fact that they threw tower defensing on top of everything else that's in here. Because I don't think I've seen that along with everything else.
I don't know. Brutal Legend had tower defense and it had a lot of that other stuff. And
yeah, but it wasn't survival horror either.
Well, yeah, it wasn't a survival horror
RPG.
All right, fine. Pre-orders for 7 Days to Die include exclusive access to 5 character skins from Telltale's The Walking Dead, including Michonne and Lee Everett. The console version of 7 Days to 7 Days to Die adds a new multiplayer mode supporting local split-screen play with additional online multiplayer modes and features to be revealed in coming weeks.
I wonder if this game is better than Zombie.
I don't remember who Lee Everett is from The Walking Dead. Obviously, I know who...
Lee Everett is the guy from the first season game.
Oh, yeah. I remember now. Yeah, that makes sense.
Great character. That was a great character.
And Michonne is a character from the comics and the new game miniseries, which is based on the comics. And apparently she's in the live-action TV show, but she's a different Michonne.
Mm. Not that much different.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's really different about her is in the comics, she's kind of a whore.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm just saying as a euphemism for her being kind of loose.
Don't use euphemisms and... that are, you know, misogynistic in nature, please.
Why?
You gotta work on that.
All right, let's try to add Mug back online here. He got cut off for some reason. Hey, Freak, let us know if you can hear us, man. I think it's just at your end. If somebody can type into chat to Freak to make sure he's good to go. Mug, do we have you back?
I can hear you fine.
All right, cool. Yeah, I totally forgot about Lee Everett in the Walking Dead Telltale game, which was an awesome game. I don't know if you guys have played it. It's a great game. All right, let's move on,
Eric. Still need to finish season 2 because season 3 is coming sometime by the end of the year.
Yeah, I got to get season 2. I still haven't played season 2. All right, Eric, next story.
Not as good as season 1.
Probably not. Nothing's ever usually as good as the first. All right.
Also, they were going into – we have too many projects going on at once, or projects are going to suffer unilaterally as a result.
Yeah.
Syndrome.
All right, Eric, let's go with the next.
Except the Borderlands actually managed to be one of the better ones, so –
Right, Eric. Maybe
three could be better, but this one's also from Gamatsu. Koei Tecmo's Attack on Titan launches August in the West. Xbox One, PC versions added. Koei Tecmo will launch its Omega Force developed Attack on Titan game, now officially titled Attack on Titan in North America and Attack AOT. They can't use the Attack on Titan name for whatever fucking reason. So they either have to make it romanized Japanese title or they use, in this case, an acronym. AOT, Wings of Freedom, in Europe. Physically and digitally for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and digitally for PC, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation Vita, not Xbox 360. Or Wii U, though, because we expect the Wii U not to get anything. And no 3DS game, because this game probably can't play well on the 3DS.
All jokes aside, is the Wii U really dead?
And there already is one.
Is the Wii U dead, guys? Like, all jokes aside, no joke.
Not dead, but
it's on life support.
I was gonna say life support.
The only thing keeping it alive is Nintendo.
It's slightly better off than the Vita is, because Nintendo's actually not done doing stuff with it. As far as I know, the new Zelda is still coming for it.
Okay.
And despite rumors claiming that it'll be sold alongside the NX version.
I mean, it could happen. I mean, it's what happened with Twilight Princess.
Yeah. I'm wondering when the next Nintendo's coming out. It's not coming out till next year, probably. Sometime next year.
They're just going to announce it this year, and it'll come out next year. I know they will. Maybe maybe a release in Japan this year, but not in the U.S.
Something oddly interesting about Nintendo. Today we were walking around the mall, and my wife and I did a survey on video games, and it was all kind of Nintendo-centric. And I'm guessing that they're going to be putting out some retro systems, like old-school games, like all on one system, either NES or SNES systems.
You mean like those Atari consoles?
Yeah, something similar to that.
I wouldn't buy those. They're dubious quality.
Yeah,
Did you guys see that
refurbed Game Boy case that the guy turned into, like, used one of those Raspberry Pi boards and turned it into a little universal emulator machine?
That would be cool.
But I'm thinking the reason the 360 version of this game isn't going to be made is because they'll just do backwards compatibility, and then people just won't buy the Xbox One version.
The Xbox 360 is pretty much dead at this point.
That really sucks, because I don't have the Xbox One or the PS4, and that ain't gonna happen anytime.
Hey, they're still giving out free games.
PS4 anyway.
They're still giving out free games for the 360.
Because the Xbox One apparently has technical issues that prevent games from working right on it. Unless you're somebody like Bethesda, who actually takes care in their product to make it run good.
Anybody interested in this Attack on Titan game? Because I can tell you honestly, I am not. I like the anime. I have not
watched the anime or the movies or anything else.
I'll tell you best part of the 3DS version was just running around in the omnidirectional gear. And that pretty much was it.
But no, I saw the anime. I liked the anime quite a bit, at least the first season. I have not seen the second season.
I heard about some story points, and I was like, well, that's incredibly lame.
Yeah.
Second season is supposed to air sometime this year, but I don't know when.
Basically, it involves some revelations about what the Titans are. I was like, oh, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, I haven't.
I don't want to know any of this stuff. I've never seen any of this.
Yeah, and
of course,
and
if you tell me, I'll probably forget anyway. So
the first movie I saw at the theater sucked. It really did. It was terrible. I haven't seen the second one, but I heard the same thing. They both suck, but whatever. All right, let's move on to the next story, Mug.
All right, you're going to have to remind me which one we're on, because remember,
Fate Extella domain.
Fate Excel. I do have that one up. It is. Coming to us live from Gematsu, Fate/Extella domain registered by Xseed Games, plus three more domains to figure out. Xseed Games has registered the domain name fateextella.com, suggesting the studio will localize the recently announced Marvelous developed action game. The company also registered 0R0CH1RS1NG.com. Orochi Rising with all the I's replaced with ones. Mm-hmm. It was registered the same day as a Senran Kagura Estival versus promo website in March. And a series of other domains alongside the Fate Extella domain. Unfortunately, this is the most domain IQ and domain tools reverse whois will reveal. There's a BI and then four blanks I.com. It's apparently bitzenny.com. Then there's a shinobihotsprings.com, and that's got to be a Senran Kagura thing. And TH with a whole bunch of blanks and a Y.com.
Yeah.
Legend of Heroes something? No. Could be.
That's a good guess, man. But yeah. So
bitzenny, that's a number on me. I don't know.
I love how the gaming
something to do with money.
I love how the gaming community gets all up in a tizzy when new domains are registered. Like, it could be
nothing. It is a good way of, you know, you to get kind of a really early notion of, you know, what may be coming out.
It's more concrete because that's usually one of the first listing.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the first things they do, you know, before announcing anything is to, you know, register domains to so that they can, you know, basically get those domains and lock them down so that nobody else takes them. Because if they were to do that after they announced the game,
no, I understand it, but they may never. There have been several domains that have been registered that have never seen the light of day. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, but I mean a lot of places will just, some places will just they'll buy domains, and you know specifically for squatting purposes.
Right. Right.
I don't think XC
or sometimes because they know that people do this, you know, they look at this kind of stuff and they'll just do it to, you know, kind of as a decoy from something else they're really working on.
Yeah, speaking of decoys, maybe this is a decoy. Assault Suit Lenos coming west for PS4, PC this summer. PlayStation 4 physical release included. This looks interesting. It's what do they call those shoot 'em up games? Yeah. Rising Star Games is bringing Draku Software's Assault Suit Lenos remake to North America and Europe for the PS4 and PC this summer. It's been announced. A physical release of the PS4 version will include a deluxe double-sided poster. I like posters. Featuring artwork from the Japanese release, as well as original art from the classic 16-bit release, which is also known as Target Earth. Anybody play Target Earth?
I played it once, and I felt that it might have been a fun game, but on a technical level, it's inferior to Assault Suit Vulcan.
Mm-hmm. Assault Suit Lenos,
which was released as Cybernator in the U.S.,
promises to stay true to the gameplay elements that made the classic 16-bit series popular, including its, quote, fierce and fast shooting action, challenging boss battles, an amazing array of weapon options. So pretty much like every shmup. And it goes into a little description.
I remember, like, Cybernator, I'm trying to remember, there was another game that was very similar, but apparently was not directly related. But did Cybernator have the versus mode?
Like, no. Split screen versus mode? You're thinking of Metal Warriors.
Yes, yeah. That's the one I was thinking of. And I remember my friend and I, we had a blast playing that game in versus mode.
Dungeon Buster says
very, very unbalanced, but really fun.
Dungeon Buster says Lenos was called Target Earth on the Genesis. Fun game, also really hard. So there you go.
Yeah, I like those kind of games, but I suck at everyone.
The technical limitations of the game, rather than it actually being difficult.
I agree with you, Brake. I love the games, but they're really difficult. What was that one game that was on the GameCube and before that the Dreamcast where it was an up and down shoot 'em up where you had to change colors back and forth between
Ikaruga.
God damn that game.
Ikaruga. It's not Ikaruga.
Oh yes. I had that on 360.
That game was fucking difficult as fuck.
Yeah, it's a very hard game. Yeah.
It's actually like the word, it means that it's specifically a type of bird. It's like the translation literally of the kanji is mottled dove.
I thought the translation meant fucking hard. That's what I thought.
The hardest part about that game is I think in order to get the true ending, you pretty much have to run a perfect run.
I've seen someone do it. I remember seeing a video of someone playing that game, you know, playing a two-player game with both hands, you know, one person doing it. And doing a perfect run of that. It's like that's ridiculous.
Also there's a challenge in that game where you can just eat the same color of bullets and just not fight.
Yeah. All right.
It's called bullet eater
screw
mode.
That.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Eric, let's go with the next.
But I do want to talk about this a little bit more. Right. But this is actually the second remake. There was a remake on the PS2 and I heard it's not that good, so this one's much better. Hopefully. The remake of Assault Suits Vulcan was not that great.
All right. Let's move on to the next story, Eric.
Next story is Hyper Devotion Noir is coming for PC on April 18th. And you could expect it to have better frame rate and better resolution. And if you liked that game on the Vita, or you don't have a Vita but you have a PC, now you can get it. That's pretty much all I'm going to say about that.
All right, Breakman. Next story.
What? There's a story? coming to us live from Silk on Air. All right. Romancing Saga 2 is headed westward for smartphone. Oh, well, that's kind of interesting.
Because Square has given up on the Vita entirely.
Who hasn't? Romancing Saga 2 recently released in Japan for smartphone and Vita. Squinix recently released in Japan for smartphone and PlayStation Vita, and Squinix announced via Twitter that they're bringing the game westward for Android and iPhone. Yeah, no shit. The upgraded version of Romancing Saga 2 features revamped characters' appearances. Character appearances. Sorry, that was me, not them. Upgraded backgrounds and battle graphics. You also have the option to walk or dash as your default movement speed, which you can check out in earlier report. What? I'm sorry. I just shouldn't read that line. The improved version of the game features the extra Dungeon of Remnants, which was originally added to the mobile version of the game, along with the new classes with the Onmyoji, and Ninja. I can say Ninja.
And there you go.
And they have yet to announce a Western release. So, yeah. So why are we reading this again? I thought we weren't going to release Japanese-only releases anymore.
It said West. Were you reading?
They're bringing it out over here.
Yeah, eventually, but we don't have a day.
Just kidding. There's no date yet. No, I was kidding. I was only reading it.
I heard that you can – there's actually a service called hold on a second. I'm going to check my Twitter. It's called BlueStacks.com, which I think it just lets you play Android games on your PC. Like, I guess it emulates them. So you just buy them off the store and play them through the browser.
That's pretty cool. I mean, assuming it works well.
Yeah.
Well, apparently you don't need a terribly beefy PC. You just need a decent one.
Yeah. All right, Mug. Next story.
Coming to us live from Destructoid, Fear Effect is returning with Squenix's permission, and it looks like Invisible Ink. Over 2 years ago, Square Enix announced its pitching and publishing platform called The Collective, where it encouraged other developers.
That's right. I'll go with that next story.
Okay. Where it encouraged other developers to take a swing at IPs such as Gex, Anachronox, and Fear Effect. Today, French studio Suchet has announced that it's going to be making Fear Effect Sedna, a new game in the series that looks to retain the same aesthetic while switching to an isometric perspective.
Sedna will have its own Kickstarter page soon, but Suchet's website has a small description of what we should expect. A new adventure starring Hannah, Rain, Glass, and Deke. A brand new adventure from the streets of Hong Kong to the cold world of Greenland. Lead them in isometric landscapes, combine their abilities to fight your way through futuristic underground stations, underwater research facilities, icy caves, and Inuit spiritual realms. A new adventure starring Hannah, Rain, Glass, and Deke. Okay, for some reason they've doubled up on that line. Five characters will be controlled at the same time in strategic combat, which isn't incredibly similar to the fixed camera survival horror action that Fear Effect is known for. The change in perspective brings to mind Invisible Ink, but that is by no means a bad thing. I'm curious to learn more when the Kickstarter page comes online. I remember being terrified by the first... somebody in silence.
Sorry.
I remember being terrified by the first game, but it's been 16 dang years since then. Hopefully this means that we'll see that new Gex game that Jordan wants so much.
The only thing I remember about this was the sapphic undertones. That's all I want to know.
Way to come full circle.
Probably the insurance people trying to get me to buy their quote.
Oh,
yeah. I don't have the means to pay them, though, because of the reason.
They're trying to ruin our show.
Yeah, they are. They're trying to sabotage our show.
It's like 7 o'clock. Why are they calling now?
Yeah,
you should want some of that sweet, sweet podcast money.
Not only is it 7 o'clock, it's 7 o'clock on a Friday.
Exactly.
Or it's almost 8 o'clock on a Friday. Who the hell is working at 8 o'clock on Friday?
All right, man. Let's end the new segment with this, guys. Atlas turns 30 years old this week. This comes to us from Destructoid. Here's to 30 more. I first learned of Atlas proper in the mid-90s when my cousin brought over a little old game called Persona. Come to find out, I had been playing Atlas games, whether developed or published, for several years, and the rest was history. Founded in April of 1986, Jesus, Atlas goes back that far? That's actually pretty cool.
That'll probably be around the time the Friday the 13th game came out.
Atlas, oh yeah, that's right, they did make that game. Atlas has seen its fair share of troubles. In 2003, it was acquired by a toy company. 3 years later, another acquisition. And most famously, in 2013, it was absorbed into Sega Sammy after its parent company had filed for bankruptcy. While many predicted the death of the Atlas brand as we know it, the company seems to be operating a lot like Blizzard under Activision. Almost autonomously, like nothing happened. And that's
basically they're just a cash cow for them.
They really are, man. I just wish Atlas was its own company and could do its own thing, like not underneath Sega or anybody else. Not that it's deterred them from doing anything that they want, but certainly they could. I always said on this show years ago that Atlas could be probably almost as big as Square Enix if they had full control over their stuff, but you know, whatever. What do I know? All right, guys.
I wish Square would just go back to being Square and they left Enix. Yeah. Or Enix let go of them.
Yeah. All right, guys. Atlas turning 30.
They regret merging. I've read in a report like a while back.
Yeah. Atlas turning 30 is a good thing. We all agree, right? I mean, they produce some pretty stellar games over the years. Yeah.
Produced or released, they've either made or published games, a lot of really good games over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Persona, obviously. Shin Megami Tensei, for sure. Bunch of shit.
Don't they publish the Guilty Gear or the Blaze Blue games?
Yeah.
They did for a while before Arc System Works started doing that.
They put out Dark Souls. They published it here anyways. They've published and developed a lot of great games over the years. So kudos to those.
Speaking of that, I've been thinking about trying out one of the Dark Souls or games or Bloodborne or whatever.
You should.
What game? Which of those would you recommend?
I'd say Dark Souls Dark 3 Souls. Just because it's apparently going to be an easier game overall for newcomers. Doesn't mean it's going to be hard, it's just going to be easier to ease into.
Yeah.
One of the reviews I read said it was said they had some of the hardest bosses in the series.
Yeah, but I think the game, like, eases you into the difficulty a little bit more consistently.
Yeah, like, if you play Dark Souls 1, you're going to find out very quickly that you need to be super patient with that game. Like, it's one of those games that's super hard, but it's not unconquerable if you think about things and you slow the pace down a little bit. Like, it's
I don't know what happened there. Like, the call got put on hold, so I missed like the last 10 seconds.
Nah, it's not worth going reiterating, but I'd say give Dark Souls a try. Just be super patient with it, Mug. Just really patient. Like,
yeah. I've seen a fair amount of Bloodborne, and I really liked it. But I don't know if better.
Bloodborne's a lot of, from what I've seen, I haven't played a lot of Bloodborne, but I've seen a lot of videos on it. It looks like it plays a lot like Dark Souls, like a lot, like.
It's basically the same series with a gothic horror skin.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I understand cool. People who played it.
Yeah, it's got like a Lovecraftian like motif going.
Yeah. All right, Eric, you have a homie discount for us this week.
Yes, this one's an Arrowgate bundle. If you go to indiegala.com, they're having the Sexy Fools bundle, where you can pay $10 for the following games: Armored Warrior Iris, Royal Guard Melissa, My Sex Slave is Cat Classmate, Suck My Dick or Die.
I think I've used that line. I'm pretty sure
Tasty
I have.
Tasty Shafts and Lapis Gunner.
Tasty Shafts right after that one.
Two of these games are Guro, by the way. And the other one's like part Guro, but it has a whole lot of other fetishes in it.
Yeah. All right, there you go. If you're into the Arrowgate type stuff, that's a good bundle for you. $10, not bad.
Are these all like visual novels?
Sounds like a rape fantasy.
Yeah. Are
these all like visual novels?
Yes.
What else could they be, man? There's no real good Arrowgate.
There's some Arrowgate that actually have a large portion of gameplay attributed to it, but these aren't them.
Gotcha. All right, Break, any Twitter questions?
Let me see here. Let's go back to I don't think we want to do that one because you weren't here. I don't want to do it again. Okay, RP Grinders, this comes from our friend, Freak5Chaos. You have to go to a furry convention. Oh, wait. No, I did that one, didn't I? Never mind. Let's scroll up. Scroll up here. Not really. No, that's it. Never mind. Move on.
That's it. All right. Sorry. Moving on. What have you been playing, Break?
I have played nothing new. Okay. But there have been some major updates for, like, say, Halo and Killer Instinct. They've had the third season of Killer Instinct, a bunch of new characters. I haven't bought any of them. I bought one of the old characters instead. But some of the new stages are really cool. The Arbiter from Halo is in it. They've got one of the Toads from Battletoads.
I also did, like, I saw this video where they were showing off, basically they like touched up the engine to like improve the lighting and stuff.
Can you play the other Toads via skin?
Maybe. There's a lot of like costume stuff you can do with in the game.
Yeah, it's like if you buy the Ultimate Edition, there's like a $60 like Super Ultimate Edition that gives you everything from all three seasons plus a bunch of costumes. Like that's not a bad deal, all things considered.
Yeah, and really, it's not for everything you get because you're getting all three seasons. That's
what, it's like 24 characters?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I think it would be more. Do you get Shadow Jago with it?
That I don't know. I've been trying to find out.
Okay. I'm not sure. But so I bought Riptor from season two. I haven't bought anything from the third season. I've been having fun with him. He's actually pretty awesome. I do really like the Arbiter stage because they use some. They're using Halo inspired music. And it's in the background. You've got the Covenant fighting Arbiter's forces, and there's like an actual Halo battle going on while you're fighting. I just thought that was really cool.
That's a nice touch. Nice touch.
For sure. I mean, there's actually like I've not gotten to play Killer Instinct, but everything I've seen of it has just been like they've really put a lot of work into it.
Yeah, and the other, and I was talking about Halo adding, they added some new, they added new stages, new weapons, new game types. All this stuff is for free, they added. Whereas Star Wars Battlefront has finally given us one DLC. Mm-hmm. It's about $15 for that one package of DLC.
Like Star Wars, what do you expect, man?
And well, I was thinking about getting the season pass. The season pass is $50 fucking.
Yeah, that's it's really with games like that, with especially with like with stuff with like big publishers like EA. You know, yeah. Early adopters are thoroughly punished.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might as well. The thing and the problem is with a game like Battlefront with no single player component. You know, it's like by the time it gets its Game of the Year release or whatever, its Ultimate Edition. A lot of the community for it is going to be dead.
Yeah. Hey, break.
Which sucks because that's really going to be when I want to buy all those stages because I don't want to spend $15 for one add on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Hey, break. Freak wants to know my response to that Twitter inquiry. So I don't know if you want to read that one.
Oh, sure. If you want to, there were. The furry one or the other one?
Yeah, the furry one.
I'm not doing the other one. You have to go to a furry convention. What animal do you dress up as, Frank?
a Wolverine. There you go. Wolverine.
It's not a real animal, Frank.
Yes, it is. Free five. Oh, Zelda game.
He said Wolverine, and I heard werewolf for some reason. I'm drinking, man. My bad.
You are drinking.
Yeah. He's a werewolverine.
Yeah, werewolverine. I like that. There you go. All right. Let's see, Eric. What have you been playing, man?
Oh, I just was commenting on Free Five's Zelda idea. It sounds cool, but usually they're relegated only to a. Part of the game.
You might want to provide some context there and say what he actually said.
Yeah, he said, you know, it would be a cool Zelda game, have two characters, one in the light world, one in the dark. You either have to keep switching the two or open areas, completing dungeons. Hmm. That sounds more like a better idea for a dungeon. I don't think it could carry an entire game, though. People would probably get tired of that.
It might carry an entire game.
Well, you either have to switch off, or if you're doing it two-player, then you have to provide some seriously strong AI support.
Yes.
And I don't think, I mean, if it's designed around being able to actually play the other character's areas, then you're basically waiting for your AI to play half the game for you.
Yeah, yeah, right. It have to be multiplayer. I think Triforce Heroes kind of does that, but it's not like Light World stuff. It's just you need other players to do things.
Yeah.
Or you have to do everything yourself, and it doesn't quite work that way, especially when you get the boss battles.
Yeah. What have you been playing, Eric?
I finished Hyrule Warriors Legends, and the review's been sent, so it'll show up eventually. But the reviews of Pokken Tournament went up last week. I didn't know about that until, like, Wednesday. But the reviews of... Naruto Shippuden 4 and Twilight Princess HD are now up. But I also played a little bit more of Enter the Gungeon, so I'm going to write that this weekend. I still don't know what these things that you get for being the bosses do, because the game doesn't really explain anything to you and has a lot of mysteries in it that just you won't be able to solve unless you're good at the game, because if you die, you lose all your progress because it's a roguelike.
Yeah. And that's why I will never play that game.
I don't mind roguelikes that, you know, let you at least save your levels or have some kind of benefit that carries over from each run, but the game doesn't do that.
Yeah.
And I played a little of Shiny Days, finally getting around to doing that because I don't have much else to do. But, I did play the PC version of Code of Princes that I got code from Digica because they're publishing the game for them. And it's weird. It's unlike the 3DS version that Atlas put out. It doesn't have an English dub because I guess they couldn't pay the licensing fee for that. Mm. But it does use its script, and the character portraits and the text box are up-resed, but the sprites in the game aren't. But the game runs at 60 FPS.
That's good.
So maybe modders could do an HD up-res, mod of some kind.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, it's a decent game. The one weird thing, though, is that they do replicate the 3DS's dual screens, but when you get into an actual level, it just does one screen. It switches off. It's kind of weird that way. But you can change the viewing mode to only view the top screen portion of the game if you want.
Yeah.
But so I'll write a review of that because I don't think I ever did back then.
All right.
But it should be easy because I've already played it, so I don't need to spend time on it. But that's all I've been playing.
All right. Mug, what have you been playing?
Well, actually, I took Eric's advice before, and when he said Galaxy has a patch to, you know, get rid of the roguelike aspects, and so I've been playing more of that. So, just playing it on the arcade difficulty, which is essentially, it's still hard as hell, but where you if you get killed on a mission, you don't have to start the season over. It's like there's basically
checkpoints.
Yeah, well, it's the way that the game works. It has, like, there are five levels, stages in a season, and in the regular difficulty mode, if you get killed, you have to start the season over. And the each stage takes an average of around like 10 to 20 minutes to complete. And I'm sorry, I'm just not interested in that. It's also, it doesn't help that the levels are randomized. Like you have different goals depending on, you know, like just it's randomly selected, and you know you don't heal up between stages. You have to buy, like you get salvage from destroying stuff, destroying enemies, and you have to use that as a currency to purchase, like upgrades and stuff. And it's really fun. I mean, it's got, you know, it's very solid controls and everything. And once you finish the first season after the fifth stage, then you unlock the mech form, which gives you, basically it changes up the gameplay and you can switch back and forth at will. And I mean, it's really enjoyable. It's just fucking hard.
Before the arcade mode patch came out, you could play on a lower difficulty that lets you at least save in between levels.
That's what the arcade difficulty is.
Mm. Well, apparently they added that. Was that not in the PS4 version or something then? Because it was in the PC version.
It was not in the PS4 version, because like I downloaded and I was like, weird. Oh, let's try it out. Should have
done that a long time ago.
Yeah, but I mean, I got the patch, and so it's like you can start in either arcade or rogue difficulty, which is the original difficulty. Yeah. And in rogue, you start over if you start the season over if you die, and arcade you start the level over.
I kind of wish the levels themselves had checkpoints though.
That would be nice. Although, I mean, the thing is, they're not long. It's just that sometimes you'll run into some really nasty, like a really nasty combination of enemies.
Yeah,
like,
the RNG will kill you.
The what now?
The RNG.
Yeah, it's because like there's this one type of enemy that specializes in ramming you, and you have to basically, like in some of these things, you know, you have missiles, but they're scarce. And you can go through, like, you start off with, like, 16 missiles as a base, and you can go through, like, 10 of them in a single fight. So you have to be very careful. And some of these things are really fast, and they can chase you down even, you know, when you're, you know, basically, essentially burning rubber trying to get away from them.
Yeah, if you're fighting the slower-moving enemies, though, when you can always turn into the mech and use the grapple and then launch them against something.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing, Mug?
Dead Rising 2 off the record. Still mostly playing the sandbox mode in that. I've leveled up to like level 35 now. So I'll probably play through the story mode once I get around to finish to leveling up to the max level. I'm sure I'll burn right through it.
Yeah.
Anything I mean, it's really designed so that once you get to around level 15 to 20, you can have a decent, you know, it's like not, you know, as long as you're, you know, decently prepared. You know, you won't have too terribly hard a time getting through the game. If you want to, if you want to try and rescue all the survivors and complete the game, that's always going to be more difficult. But being able to essentially grind by playing around in the sandbox mode makes things a lot easier.
Hmm. All right. Anything else?
I've still been playing here, and not. You know, not a lot of it, but I've still been playing here and there. A Link Between Worlds.
Cool. Link Between Worlds is good game for sure.
Yeah, it is. I'm at the one. I forget which temple it is, but it's like there's a lot of verticality, a lot of fire, a lot of lava, and it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I've been playing a little bit of Twilight Princess. I got in some MPQ, but I'm actually really excited about after the show. I'm going to be playing a little bit more of Wolf Among Us. I'm going to try to get a good chunk of that game, if not the entire game.
I think each chapter is like 3 hours long.
Yeah,
so.
I'm thinking no,
about it. Microsoft's giving it out for free. I just downloaded it. I'm gonna have to play it.
Yeah, too. It's a good game, man.
Where
you don't think that's
what are they giving it out free on?
Xbox One.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you haven't played it, definitely play it. It's really good.
I played the first chapter. I like the first chapter, so I'm gonna really play
good.
All of it now.
It's interesting. So, it's a good game. It's got some really good story. Isn't it Telltale that does that game too?
Yeah, it's Telltale. It's essentially a prologue to the comic series.
Yeah.
They are right now they're probably the best storytellers in gaming.
They really are, man. They're great at
telling stories. And when their game is on anyway.
Well, for the most part it's been pretty
good. I've heard some not so great things about the storytelling in Minecraft story mode.
Well, it's Minecraft, but
that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, it's like
I think it's
Borderlands, but apparently Tales from the Borderlands is really good.
Minecraft, it's like this is so wide open, do anything you want. They probably went like a little crazy with it, you know. They're like, we can do anything we want. Woohoo!
Freak's talking about Pumpy Monkey Baby.
Game of Thrones is just kind of
Don't talk about that.
I hate that commercial.
That's terrible. What's wrong with you, Freak?
Oh, God.
That commercial is made to appease the young 27 crowd.
It is absolutely.
Speaking of commercials, did you see the Ford Focus ones with the Metal Gear Solid stuff?
No, I didn't. That's
there's an article on Kotaku about it where it links to two commercials where it basically has the Metal Gear Solid 1 codec conversation, and they
advertisement. I didn't know that.
Yes, they got Paul Eiding and who played Colonel Campbell and David Hayter, who played Snake, to actually talk about this. And it's fucking hilarious. And there's another one where Psycho Mantis is telling you about, oh, I know what you want. You'll want the Ford Focus on. But it's so silly. But they're awesome.
Yeah. Freak is asking if any of us listen to the Malvi broadcast. I can't say as I've ever heard that one. So
I thought that was whenever Frank speaks.
Pretty much. That's the way it is. All right, let's move on, guys. I'll have an update on all of those shenanigans next week. I'll try to finish it. I'm going to try to finish that game tonight. Yeah, let's move on
to
our
Stinkos
of the week. Eric, you're Stinko.
Stinko, you probably have to be debit card fraud.
Yeah. What happened, Eric?
Huh?
What happened? Did you get your card stolen?
Basically, someone managed to get a hold of my number, and you tried to use it to purchase something at Walmart for like $337 or whatever. Joke's on them, though. I was so broke, I had no money in my account. But now I have
you to get showed a new card. Them.
Now you have to what, Eric?
I have to get a new card, which sucks because. Yeah. Who knows how long it's going to take before it gets here? It
should be there fairly soon.
Should take more than a couple days.
They said 2 weeks, but I think that's probably maximum. But
yeah, I think that's a CYA.
Yeah, they're covering
that. It should get there sooner than that.
Yeah.
But I hope as soon as tomorrow, but probably not. But so I'm just going to have to go to the bank one more time and pull more money out so I can get through the weekend and possibly Monday or Tuesday. But thankfully, the new card I'm getting is going to have a chip in it, so it will be easier to fraud, or it won't be as easy to fraud.
Oh, yes, it will.
Yeah, it'd be the same thing.
The chip and pin was hacked before it even came out.
Yeah.
It's more secure.
It'll be harder, at least.
Yeah, right? It'll be a little harder.
It really won't. It's just as easy.
The ship thing came out in Europe a long time ago, and then it was secure. But since then, it's been hacked before it even came to America.
How about
– now we're getting their old technology that's already been hacked. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
How about fingerprint technology? How about that? That would probably cut it down quite a bit. Quite a bit.
You would think.
All right, Breakman. iPhones. I was just going to say iPhones have fingerprint technology. Why can't fucking credit cards? All right, Breakman, go ahead.
Yeah, my thumbs are all over my phone anyway. you guys remember me talking about John Crawford? This was back in 2014. He was the guy who was in the Walmart in Dayton, Ohio, who was walking around with an assault rifle looking air rifle.
Yes.
He wasn't a kid, he was like 21, I think. He was a young guy. I mean, but
he's still a kid.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, semantics, you know, depending on the law, I guess. But anyway, there was basically a 911 call saying, hey, there's a guy in the store that he's pointing a gun at and such like that. So the cops came in, and I know you've seen the video, Frank. I don't know if you guys saw the video or not. I've seen it, and unfortunately I can never – like I can't forget it.
Yeah.
It's one of these horrible things, and for whatever reason I just – I forget everything else, but like I remember watching a guy get murdered by police.
You're
less than a couple seconds. Like they came in and they fired on him before he knew what was going on.
The Young Turks did an excellent recount of what happened on that day, Breakman, and it's really harrowing. It's sad. It sucks. It's awful. But go ahead.
Yeah, so he had this. He's walking around the store with this assault rifle looking gun. But by the way, he's in Dayton, Ohio. Guess what? Ohio is a carry state.
Yeah.
Open carry. Yeah. You can carry an assault rifle around in Ohio.
Yeah.
But not if you're black.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well,
or
so you can, but so, you're probably not going to live long if you do.
So the story goes, this story, which I'm reading now, I should say, goes, a 911 caller may be charged with making false reports for his account of a greater Cincinnati man carrying a gun inside a Dayton area Walmart. Mm-hmm. So my stinko is not that they're charging him necessarily, because some of the things he said, like he said that he's pointing at the gun around, I think he's reloading it and stuff like that, just doesn't match up with what actually happened.
Right.
So but at the same time, like if you start charging people for calling 911, you're going to turn people off from calling 911. But at the same time, you can't make false reports either. But that's not my stinko. My stinko goes to they're going after the 911 caller. Not the cops who came in here and murdered him within a couple seconds.
No, yeah. As a matter of fact, those cops got off.
The grand jury, they didn't see any evidence to indict them, so the prosecutors decided we're not going to do it. These two things aren't really related because there's the judge who is indicting him this is somebody separate from who isn't charging the police.
Look, this is made.
It's just absolutely ridiculous to me that they did not. Their jobs are to come in there and assess the situation. You come into a Walmart with an active shooter. Don't you think everybody would be running around scared and there'd be panic? Not people shopping normally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no common sense to anything the cops did, and the fact that they get off scot-free.
Right.
And the fucking 911 caller is going to be charged.
Right. Which I actually do think the 911 caller should be charged because he was
false statements. Yeah. I like I said, I agree. I think it might discourage some people from calling 911, but at the same time, we can't have people calling 911 making shit up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like you can't have serious that bullshit. Yeah,
this is probably a stupid kind of question, but is police's outreach into people's psyche that great that a grand jury can have video evidence, like actual video evidence of what is happening, and nothing happens to these police officers.
I'm wondering if the laws in this state are geared in a way that what they did is fine.
Yeah, I haven't
seen anything that would support that. So I don't get why he wasn't charged.
I don't get
but
it.
That's
either.
The only it's reason not... I can think of that he wouldn't be charged.
I don't understand, man. This is something that we've talked
so,
about.
So instead, let's blame the 911 caller in a Walmart. Yeah. You had one caller.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Like the police had 100% responsibility. Like they can't blame the caller for this, even though he gave them false information. Their job is to assess the situation.
So what Brakeman kind of related in a way, there was another situation in Cleveland that happened with cops.
Yeah, the Tamir Rice situation, exact same. Yeah, you went, well, not the exact same thing, but it was actually a little kid.
Yeah, it was parallel
was playing
to that.
With a rifle gun that had the yellow or the orange tip sawed off or something, whereas with James Crawford, he was in the store and this was an actual product Walmart sold.
Yeah. What happened with that one where – was it the same one where the cops came rolling into a park and just shot somebody sight unseen? Yeah, that's another.
They shot the kid in Tamir Rice within three seconds.
Yeah, within three seconds.
They came in. They said – we told him, and this is the same thing with them. They said we told him, police, hands up, and stuff like that. And both John Crawford and Tamir Rice were like, "What? What's going on?"
Right.
Like they're not expecting the police. They're minding their own fucking business.
Right.
Their first response to that is like, "Who are they talking to?"
Right. Exactly. Are they talking to me? Like, I can see. Can you imagine that? You're in a park and you're just minding your own business. A cop comes.
You're playing with a toy gun because you're a little boy. Right. Little boys play fucking toy guns. I played with toy guns. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude.
It's ridiculous. You have every right to be outraged.
I'm drinking and I'm getting a little bit worked up. My bad. I'm sorry.
Brakeman, you have every right to get worked up.
So that's my stinko.
This is worth getting worked up over.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, man. It's dude. There's reasons why I've been the way that I have been for the past, I don't know, fucking 30 years with cops. Like, they're awful. They're just awful, you know?
I can't unsee that John Crawford video, and it haunts me.
Yeah, dude, and it should haunt people.
At no point did he point the gun at them. Like, he was kind of waving it around. Like, you could see him talking on the phone, and, nonchalantly. I know I talk with my hands sometimes.
Right. It's a sad video, and I don't understand why white people and black people and Mexican people and every other race isn't up in arms about this. I don't get it. Like, obviously,
Frank, I can tell you exactly why it is. It's because of the 24-hour news cycle. Nothing stays current for more than a few days.
Yeah, that's no, you're right.
Point. We're constantly being inundated with other stuff to keep us.
Not only that, there is a race issue with it too.
Absolutely. I'm definitely not denying that. I'm just saying that it's going to, that plays the most, substantial role.
Well, I mean, think about it, guys. Like, we have actual shooters that are white that become a huge story and stay in the news forever, right? Like the Columbine thing. But yet we get rogue cops in Ohio that shoot down black people and they're in the clear.
Hey, it's not just here, but
no, I know, but those are the recent examples that we can point to, Brake. There's plenty of examples.
I use these two examples. I mean, I know these examples because I live in this state, even though I don't live anywhere close to those two.
I've had various walk-ins with police, and I'm surprised I'm still walking around, man. I mean, seriously.
I'm about an hour away from Dayton and 5 hours away from Cleveland, and yes, I've been to both cities.
Yeah. So,
Frank, you are not Caucasian, are you?
No, I am not.
Yeah.
Although he's pretty light-skinned.
maybe that's your survival technique.
I'm pretty average, man. I'm actually like I look like a Mexican, man. I mean, come on.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm Caucasian.
What does that mean? What does that mean? You're racist against Latinos?
No, I'm dumb. Latino. I'm dark. I'm actually a little darker than what you think, Eric. Yeah,
I'm actually fairly. Well,
I've seen a self-hating Latino.
I've seen, so maybe it was the lighting.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm white. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm white, but I have fairly dark skin for a white person.
This is sad. Dungeon Buster
says, "I'm the great white stereotype." We've already discussed this.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says, "To be honest, I haven't even heard of the Crawford thing because of the news cycle. It didn't even come up in the feeds I follow." See, that's the problem.
It either.
Let me. I'm gonna post this in
busy,
chat.
Yeah, I'm busy, so I wouldn't have seen it anyway.
God, it's awful. It's awful to see. But look, I highly suggest people tune in to the Young Turks and watch a lot of those videos because I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask Dungeon Buster if he heard of Tamir Rice.
Yeah.
Because he should look into that too.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
See, here's the thing. There's a reason.
It's the same type of shooting.
There's a reason why black people are up in arms. And it's kind of the same reason they were up in arms in the 60s and 70s, only it's a little different now. Now it's more just blatantly obvious killings. You know, back in the day, it was like sweep under the rug type shit.
Well,
you know?
Back in the day, there weren't cameras everywhere.
Right, and there weren't cameras. You know, now we have cameras everywhere, and fuck. You know, it's like whatever.
24-hour news, we have cameras, we have the internet. But yeah. But there are downsides to this, just like Maury was saying, the 24-hour news cycle, they want to keep giving you new stories.
Right.
New things going on. This is new. This is new. This is new.
And I don't necessarily want that. I want justice for victims. That's what I want. And these guys were definitely victims. You know, it's just sad. Yeah. All right, Mug, your turn.
All right. Well, I will go very – my Sweeto and Stinko are very closely related to each other, so mm-hmm. I'm going to have to kind of bundle them together. Sweeto is that I found a really, really, really good book. It's called Bad Science by Ben Goldacre.
Mm-hmm.
Like Goldacre, spelled exactly like it sounds. And it's a really, you know, really well-written, informative, and funny popular science book talking about basically the, you know, cognitive biases and the way that, you know, our brains will trick us, but also about the marketing sleights of hand,
mm-hmm.
and the way that, you know, the way that stuff gets misused in, you know, by like drug companies and all these other or just stuff in general. But one of the last chapter of the book, it talks very specifically about the whole MMR scare. If you're not familiar with MMRs, measles, mumps, and rubella, it's the triple vaccination shot that kids get that people thought, oh, it causes autism. now that's the Sweeto. The Sweeto is that's a really good book. You should check it out. The Stinko is that it's like, you guys know I'm very opposed to anti-vaxxers. Mm-hmm. I have a serious problem.
Yeah, I agree.
What's your problem with Jenny McCarthy?
What isn't anybody's problem with her?
She's a monster.
She's
a monster, but she is not as much of a monster. See, you guys know do you guys know the name Andrew Wakefield?
Yes.
For those who don't know, Andrew Wakefield is the doctor who initially made that bogus claim that, you know, the MMR.
I have heard the name before. It just didn't ring. Oh, okay.
I didn't know just how much of a monster he was.
Mm-hmm.
Not only was he corrupt, I mean, his whole study, the study that he used to make the claim that autism was, you know, caused by the MMR vaccine, mm-hmm. was deeply flawed in the first place. It was a study of 12 kids, which is not a useful sample size for anything, had no controls. And but the really evil thing about this, and he was also corrupt. He was actually he had a vested interest in, he was out to basically discredit the MMR vaccine so that a company he had stake in could offer up a replacement.
Oh, how nice. How nice.
Comes down to money.
Isn't that
That's not the shitty thing. Hang on, let me get to what really pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that without permission, so one of the things, I mean, he was a British doctor, and now he lives in like Texas. So now he's our problem. But there's an ethics review board where if you're going to do, in the course of research, if you're going to do any form of invasive test on human subjects, you have to get it reviewed with the ethics board. Mm-hmm. And they have to sign off on it. Well, he didn't do that, and he subjected these kids to colonoscopies.
Oh, how nice.
And worse, lumbar punctures.
Oh, God.
If you don't know what that is. I've been to the colonoscopy. I'm sorry.
But the lumbar puncture is an extremely painful test where they actually stick a needle inside the discs between your vertebrae.
Yeah.
To get some of the it's not into the discs. It's into like the spinal column to get some cerebrospinal fluid for testing. It's extremely unpleasant.
Chiropractic on even worse.
Yeah, and the problem with the – and actually it wasn't the lumbar punctures that were the real problem. There was one case where one of these kids had his and it was like there's a risk with any procedure, but one of these kids had his bowel perforated in 12 places.
Yep.
Suffered multiple organ failure and neurological damage and was awarded something like £740,000. And I'm just like – and he did all this, you know, I mean he's – he's a fucking monster. My wife compared, you know, said he's basically Joseph Mengele.
Yeah, see, I tend to think that Jenny McCarthy is in the same vein as this guy because of how many people were affected. Same thing with Oprah Winfrey. Everybody thinks
and she gives these nut jobs a platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have every problem with her.
Yeah, and endorses all of it. You know, like actively believes all this shit. That's why when she ended her show, I celebrated because I'm like, wow, now we don't have her. But
the problem is we still have her legacy to deal with.
Yeah, we still have her legacy.
Like Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil.
Oh, God. Dr. Oz is so bad, man. That guy is a fucking moron to the nth degree. Like he's.
Here's all you need to know about Dr. Phil. He released a weight loss book.
Yeah. Dr. Phil. Yep. Slim.
If you've
Dr.
seen
Phil.
Pictures of Dr. Phil, well, I think now like he's done.
Well,
all
was he a doctor that, of? Probably nothing.
No, he's
there's
an
also the fact he was, that he's divorced and he gives relationship advice.
That too. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Like how to save your marriage. I'm like, well, you didn't save yours. What do you know?
Later, freak.
Don't do what I did, but I can't help you either.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like actually, there was a thing in the fifth Hitchhiker book where like. Arthur's going around looking for he's trying to find advice on how to deal with his life. He goes to this planet, runs into this really old woman who lives in this horribly smelly cave. And like to the point where he takes a sniff of it and starts vomiting uncontrollably. But her advice is like she takes this photocopier and gives and it's this list of every single decision she's ever made. Basically, it's like do everything exactly the opposite of what I did, and then you won't end up at the end of your life in a smelly old cave like this.
I like that. What was I going to say? Oh, Dungeon Bus says on a related tangent, De Niro retracted in an anti-vaxxer film from the Tribeca Film Festival.
I saw that. I was happy about that.
Wait a minute. Did he star in it, or how did he retract it?
No, like, De Niro was promoting it.
Oh, I gotcha. Ugh, what an ass.
As Dungeon Buster says, only after a massive outcry. So, like, did he learn anything, or was he doing this just not to get in trouble with people, you know? Does he still believe in anti-vax?
No one wanted the film festival to legitimize hokey science. Yeah, exactly. My stinko, I don't want to go too far into it. It sucks losing a job. It's the first time I've ever been fired from a job, my dispensary job. They had like a really weird three strike and you're out policy with their drawer, like over and under $5. So it was just really difficult because they had two different systems, their point of sale system and their credit card system. So you had to make sure both were on point, each transaction. And the level, I can honestly tell you, being in retail for as many years as I've been in retail, that probably was the hardest mentally challenging job I've ever had in my life. And I'm surprised I lasted as long as I did. A lot of other people got fired for the same exact thing, like you know, it's just a constant turnover there. And I happened to be a victim of circumstance. One day my car was backed into and I had to, I mean, the other bud tenders were, I don't know, twiddling their thumbs. And of course, here I am taking care of customer after customer under extreme circumstances. And I told that was not going to be a big deal because, you know, the manager didn't do the right thing and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I'm fired. So that's it. That's the gist of it. So I'll be searching for a job here pretty soon. or getting an unemployment, one or the other. But, you know, whatever. Life goes on. I'm not emotionally, you know, I thought I would be a lot an emotional wreck if it happened, but I really am not. Like, I'm just not. Like, I did what I could do. I sold more product from that store than anybody else, probably in the history of that particular dispensary. And that's not, you know, tooting my own horn or anything like that. Like, if a company can justify firing somebody over what amounts to basically $10, and they're making you probably in the neighborhood of almost $1 million, and if you break down what I did over the course of a whole year, then there's something seriously wrong with your company. And I know rules are rules, but rules are always made to be broken. So it's just a sad commentary on the cannabis business in the state of Colorado that the MED, the Marijuana Enforcement Division is that strict on something that does not need that much regulation. To be honest, but whatever. I'll move on. I'll land on my feet, and that's.
I wonder how many years it'll take to, you know, ease up on that stuff.
It's probably going to take a few. It's sort of like the alcohol industry. I mean, they have strict rules in the alcohol industry, but they're not nearly what they are in the marijuana industry. It's weird, but all right. Let's move on to our sweetos. Moria, what's your sweeto?
I kind of went over mine already. It's that book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Bad Science by Ben Goldacre. Check it out.
You had something down here that I thought was worth – was that last week? Bernie appears to be surging.
Oh, yeah. That was last week.
Yeah. All right. Breakman, your
There was actually a Twitter comment that I skipped purposely because it was my sweeto.
Oh, okay.
This is sent to us from Freak 5 Chaos. Apparently, a guy I follow on Twitter because I like him. He's a sports broadcaster named Bonmani Jones.
Yeah.
Wore a shirt on television yesterday. Based on the Cleveland Indian shirt, if you people know, for the people who don't know what it is, it's this cartoon character of a stereotypical Native American, the Indian, and the Cleveland Indians are a baseball team. So what he did to mock them was he came in with a shirt that says Caucasians with a cartoon white person.
I love it.
I want to buy the shirt.
Yeah, I love it.
I want to buy that shirt, too. I will totally walk around with
that. I love it.
This is exactly what we talked about on that one episode. I want the shirt. He's listening to us.
Yeah.
That's my sweetheart. But Monty Jones is listening to us.
Yep. I love and hate this at the same time because I think in most cases you can't fight fire with fire. But
I agree. I agree with that. It's just – I don't know. Like, it's just
it's an argument from absurdity, and it's basically showing that the Indians and the Redskins are ridiculous, so we should change their name, and this is the way we're gonna do that.
Yeah, and it's not gonna work.
No. What he's trying to show is that look, if this was white people on the shirt, more white people would be offended about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to we see Indians and we're okay with it. Whereas, you know, we've complained about it all the time, especially the worst of them is the Redskins. It's like,
yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, and Daniel Snyder.
Like, you don't go around calling people white skins and yellow skins.
I agree.
A brown skin and you're a black skin. Like, what the – how do you think this is fucking okay?
You know, I'm so happy that you, Breakman, have brought this up. You and Mug are some of the most – logical and rational people.
Hold on. Don't lump Mori in with me and logic.
And Eric, I think you guys are some of the most logical white people I know. Because you can see
that is called damning with faint praise, my friend.
No, I'm saying this in all honesty. Like, there are tons of people that do not see it this way. Like Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Washington team. I'm not even going to say it anymore. I hate it. I hate that team and everything it stands for. The same thing with the Cleveland team. I can't bring myself to do it. You know, I can't do it.
First of all, it's geographically inaccurate anyways, because Indians are in India.
Yeah, well, I grew up with listening to comedians like Richard Pryor, who just completely lampooned like racism. Just he pointed out how stupid it is while making you laugh about it.
Right.
Yeah, so same here. And Richard Pryor, the whole, and like just talking about the whole, you know, it's Richard Pryor was a big, or not, George Carlin, rather, was a big influence on me as far as just my interpretation of language.
Okay.
It's like I don't have a lot of use for the whole euphemism thing. It's like you talk about the, we don't care when Richard Pryor or Eddie Murphy say the word nigger because we know they're black, because we know they're not racist. They're niggers. It's like, as what was
his line? You can still be racist and be black, though.
Mm. Oh, I know. But it's like but the point is, in the context, they're not saying, they're not saying the word nigger to hurt anybody. Mm. That's the difference.
I think Bomani Jones wearing this shirt just pointed a good light into the situation. And the fact that people were up in arms over it, like if those same people were up in arms over the other logos, then we would have something here. So at least he's trying something to get the conversation started.
I think he's trying to make people self-aware.
I agree.
Yeah, and the only reason anybody is upset about it is because, oh shit, the tables are turned.
Yeah, right. And it was jarring to a lot of people, and it sputtered outrage. And that's the same outrage that people should be thinking of when they think of the Washington team and the Cleveland team and any other team that's insensitive. Like
messed up is I follow on Twitter. I like the guy. He's like a sports commentator. I didn't even know about this until Freak tweeted it to me. I'm like, how did I miss all of this? I follow the guy. Hmm.
Yeah, weird. No, I like this. I like this in a lot of ways. There's one way I don't like it because it's kind of like, it could be taken for the opposite. But I like the fact that I
do agree with you at that point. Like you can't, like you said, you can't fight fire with fire. Yeah. Like for instance, ISIS, we could like nuke them, bomb them, like kill them all. But you know what? What'll happen is others will
create more terrorists.
Yeah.
All right, Eric.
You can't destroy violence with violence. You can't fight fire with fire.
Yeah.
And such. I mean, but at the same time, like I think he's getting some people to look at themselves and go, oh.
Yeah.
Whereas I've grown up like kind of laughing at like racism personally. Yeah. It's not, you shouldn't laugh at it, but
I think it was a good way to at least start the conversation break. So
like I said, I want one of these shirts. Like it's what I've talked about so many times.
Right. We have talked about this on this show several times, and it's jarring to see it coming from an African American. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what really kind of, but I agree. If a lot of white people started wearing these shirts, maybe we would see a little bit of change.
By the way, he retweets a lot of stuff, and he deals with a lot of fucking racism.
Oh, no question, no question. Yeah,
long before this shirt, there are just a lot of fucking ignorant people out there.
I really like Bomani Jones. He's actually very eloquent, very well spoken, super smart, and I like his sports talk for sure. All right, let's go with yours, Eric.
My sweet-o is that Bruce Springsteen decided to cancel his concert in North Carolina. pending House Bill 2, which
I thought you were going to say cancel his concert in Ohio, and that made me happy because he sucks. He's over.
Anyways,
I like some.
Sorry, but the boss is not the boss.
I may have to hurt you over that one.
I'm sorry. I'm
not even a big fan, but I have a lot of respect for him.
I'm not a huge fan of Springsteen, but I can respect his music. Go ahead, Eric.
I mean, so it says House Bill 2, which the meter referring to as the bathroom law, officially known as the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, dictates which bathrooms transgender people are permitted to use. Just as important, the law also attacks the rights of LGBT citizens to sue when their human rights are violated in the workplace. No other group of North Carolinians face such a burden. To my mind, this is what he's saying, by the way. To my mind, it's an attempt by people who cannot stand the progress that our country has made in recognizing human rights of all of our citizens to overturn that progress.
You know what? Oh, sorry.
I'm not done yet.
Sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
Right now, there are many groups, businesses, and individuals in North Carolina working to oppose and overcome these negative developments. Taking all this into account, I feel it's a time for me and the band to show solidarity for these freedom fighters. As a result, and then with the deepest apologies to our dedicated fans in Greensboro, we have canceled our show scheduled for Sunday, April 10th. Some things are more important than a rock show, and this fight against prejudice and bigotry, what is happening as I write, is one of them. It is the strongest means I have for raising my voice in opposition to those who continue to push backwards, us backwards instead of forwards.
Yeah.
I fully support you, North Carolina. Go on with this rule. You know why? Because there are some cities like Cincinnati, Ohio, which is one of the most LGBTQ, and I think there's some more acronyms now or letters. Friendly cities in this country is more than willing and more than happy to take your business.
Yeah, exactly.
If you companies like, go ahead, North Carolina, go ahead.
Yeah,
because if you're listening, companies, we are more than happy. You can come here. We are gay friendly. We trans friendly. We're happy.
Yeah,
come on, come to us.
Dude, you couldn't have said it better, Break. Like, go ahead. Continue on. And you know what? The South reeks a lot of this, too. Like, there's been rumblings of, like, South Carolina, Alabama, Georgia.
There's talk of a bill in the works here in South Carolina. What's funny is that our governor, Nikki Haley, is an obnoxious Republican. I cannot mm-hmm. stand her. But mm-hmm. even she said, her words were, this bill is not necessary.
Right. Right.
So I'm hoping that'll put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, hopefully. But there's a lot of work to be done.
No, don't kibosh it. Like I said,
I think New York put out a policy where they're ridding state federal travel to North Carolina. Yeah.
Their loss is our gain.
Yeah,
North Carolina, you could just lose money and then not understand why and just die.
Yeah.
I think people leave your state as they find it's getting more difficult to live.
It's not really going to hit them until big events like the Final Four and big sports shows, basketball championships and, you know, all kinds of shit does not make their state. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of, like, what are the big sports teams
I can think of the Tar Heels,
and that's about it.
Did you hear about the thing with PayPal, North Carolina? Mm-mm. Yeah, PayPal opened up a new center there. Yeah, PayPal just went, sorry, we're not, not happening.
Hey,
yeah.
PayPal, Cincinnati, Ohio.
There you go. Denver, come on down. I need a job anyways, so
there you go. All right. Okay, so that's a good point. PayPal, go to Denver because Frank needs a job.
My sweeto, this is interesting. The Walking Dead season finale is going to be kind of controversial. I wish Freak 5 was in here. He does a show called Zombies Anonymous, which, I used to have a show called DMT.
This is your sweeto?
Yeah, it is, and I'll tell you why.
I want to throw my bottle at you
now.
It's not even empty, and I want to throw it at you.
Trust me. Hear me out, Break.
Okay.
I hated the final scene in the season finale, but
it
is my sweeto. Because it's got everybody talking about The Walking Dead. Like, I went to a restaurant with a Walking Dead t-shirt, and the waitress, who was older, an older waitress, stopped me and said she had the same shirt, and she was excited for this new season. She hadn't seen it. I was like, I mean, people were talking. She said she heard about the finale and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, people are talking about that show even more so. So I like that. I hated, absolutely hated that they did not show who they killed at the end of the episode.
It's going to be Glenn.
I hope it's Glenn. It has to be Glenn. It happened in the comics. Like, but I will say they spent a lot of time on Abraham this season. So to me, in my mind, it's between Glenn and Abraham. I really hope it's Glenn. I wish they would have really done it. You know, I really wish they would have showed it and revealed it at the end of this season. Because, I mean, seriously, is anybody not going to watch The Walking Dead next year?
That is the worst.
I haven't watched The Walking Dead in like 2.5 years.
Yeah. But
that just like a terrible cliffhanger. Everything about that episode pissed me off, especially the ending.
The ending.
But
I
think there's one character we can rule out because there's a good joke going on Carl. Twitter. Basically, it can't be Carl because the picture would have been cut in half.
Well,
because the final scene is basically from the character's perspective, so he would only saw half of it because he only has one eye.
You remember Metal Gear Solid 3? You know, once you got the eye out, if you went into first person mode, you had the little black iris thing over on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can see the side of the bridge of the nose.
Yeah.
So we can rule Carl out because he can't see above.
Well, we can also rule him out because Negan says, you know, if anybody moves, cut his other eye out and give it to his dad. So it's not Rick. It's not Carl. There's no fucking way it's Daryl because Daryl's fucking untouchable for whatever fucking reason. I never understood Daryl's appeal.
He might he's in such high demand right now. It really could be him just because people want him for movies, TV shows, and everything else.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster, I didn't see the new X-Files shit. Apparently it wasn't.
I didn't either because I heard bad things about it.
Yeah, it wasn't. I saw the first episode, but I was like, not so good.
That's all I heard was bad things. So I'm like, I guess I'm not going to watch this. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But back to The Walking Dead, like basically this whole episode was, they're supposed to be driving to another town to, take the, people or take one person to a doctor because she's sick. I forgot. She's having her kid, Maggie. And she's having complications with the pregnancy. So they're trying to take her to this other town to help her. And on the way, they run into the saviors, the bad guys, who mm-hmm. blocked their path. So they turn around and they try and go another way. And then they run into more saviors. Okay. So, like, it's just an hour into the show. They find another batch of saviors and a bigger – this is like a bigger group of them down another road. Isn't this supposed to be a fucking apocalypse?
No.
Where the hell are all these people coming from?
Dude, in the comics, they explain all that, man. Like,
in the comics, there aren't that many Superman people. Review.
We will.
Yeah. Why don't we go ahead and get that? Because we've been waiting on that for a
couple of weeks. Sorry. In the comics, there aren't that many people. But anyway, so they build it up. They get Negan, who is a master of the F word in the comics, and there's he doesn't use the F word at all.
For obvious reasons.
He says
reasons.
Shit a little bit, but I know, but you could bleep him and then sell it in the DVD.
Maybe.
You know, in the Blu-ray. Like, like the Blu-ray is unedited. Like, you could have done that easily.
Yeah, but I think his portrayal was
really
good.
And it, like, they've been promoting in the ads and stuff for a while that someone's going to die. Someone's going to be at the end of this bat. And then the cliffhanger of not showing you who it was.
Yeah, that sucked. That was
body in limbo. It's come on. Like, what happens if a character dies in the off season? Like, I hate saying it, but what happens if something like that?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's just, come on. You're being arrogant with an ending like that. So on your Superman review.
I read a lot about
today. They've already shot the scenes. They've already shot stuff that comes right after the.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that's a good idea, but still, this ending was arrogant as a fuck. Fuck.
Yeah.
I
think it was the worst cliffhanger probably of all time. It was just terrible. I'm pretty sure it's Glenn because Steven Yeun has a lot of commitments that he has to get to. So, anyways.
I think it's between him and Daryl just because for those reasons, really, because those two people are in very high demand.
No way it's Daryl. No fucking way.
Everybody fucking wants him just like they want Steven Yeun.
Yeah, but so. I'm telling you right now, Daryl's the hottest
and,
thing.
And also Lincoln, but you know he's like
he's committed. He's got
yeah. They can't really kill him. I mean, I guess they could, but at the same time, like I don't know.
All right, you know, let's move on. We've teased this for a couple weeks now. The Batman versus Superman review. I kind of teased it, kind of saying that I didn't like it. Well, this is spoilerific, so if
I'm gonna take my headset off.
Yep, take your headset off.
Love you guys.
Yeah, give us about 5 minutes, man. That's all it's gonna take me. I hated this movie. I thought it was the worst comic book movie I think I've ever seen. I can't think of a worse one. The comics were really good, Batman versus Superman, and in the comic books, if I remember correctly, Batman basically fends off Superman with Krypton. He keeps a piece of Krypton on him at all times just to keep Superman in check. This one, I mean, how many times do we have to see the fucking origin of Batman? Everybody knows the origin of Batman by now, yeah. And Superman. So why do we have to keep having flashbacks? Yeah,
that's the shitty thing. It's like they keep doing it, and it's like Batman Begins wasn't that long ago,
right? Like there's no reason.
I mean, it's like there. Batman is a part of. I mean, it is a staple of Americana.
Yes, yes.
Everybody knows where Batman came from.
Right. And Superman. Like those two characters are so iconic. And Spider-Man. We don't need if they fucking do that in Civil War, where they have a flashback scene of Spider-Man getting bit by a fucking spider, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Like, well, to be fair, the Spider-Man. I think the new Spider-Man movie is not going to do an origin story. It's just going to be he's already Spider-Man and he has a thing to do.
Oh, God, man. No origin. We don't need it. We know.
I said it's not going to be an origin story.
No, I mean, I hope you're right.
Yeah. I hope so, too, man. I have big hopes for Civil War, for setting up Infinity War, which I think Infinity War is going to be awesome. But this movie was – I mean, first of all, I was one of the few people.
Actually even think it's that bad of a movie.
I was one of the few people
that. If you're a giant Congo fan, I could see people getting disappointed, and that's probably why you hate it so much.
Right? I was one of the people that warmed up to the idea of Affleck as Batman. Right.
I liked the idea of Affleck as Batman.
I still want to see
it specifically because of him.
I did not. But I warmed up to it, and man, was I wrong. There couldn't have been a more wooden actor to play Batman if they fucking tried, man. It was awful. The writing was awful. The only thing that they got right was most of the story elements. Most of the story elements were okay. I liked Wonder Woman. I thought Wonder Woman had a lot of potential, but they did not explore her, probably because we're going to get a woman superhero movie with Wonder Woman coming next year, which I'm excited about. I am not excited for the Justice League movies, and I'll wait and see. I'm going to take a wait and see. I'm not going to go see it first day like I did Batman versus Superman. I was... the fighting was like, I mean, there was a 5 minute fucking fight and it was over with Batman about ready to kill Superman, which I find it absolutely weird. He didn't have any fucking...
He also kills people in this movie.
Yeah, he kills people.
But to be fair, most of those killings were done in the Injustice dream that Batman has for whatever fucking reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why they decided to throw that in. It was kind of like Big Bang Theory nonsense where, oh, look, we could do Injustice references because why not?
Yeah, exactly. They threw in a lot of shit. Like I did. I mean,
it's got Spider-Man 3 syndrome.
Kind of like the Aquaman cameo in a way. I thought they handled that as well as they could have. The cyborg thing was awful. The Flash thing was awful. I don't know why they just don't use the guy from the TV series. It would have been perfect. Green Lantern's nowhere to be seen, which, fuck that. I mean, a Justice League without Green Lantern is not a Justice League, in my opinion.
Maybe he'll be in the actual Justice League movie, but then going, we'll explain how he gets there.
Going back to Affleck as Batman, he was way too big. Like, I never thought I'd say that, but Affleck was way too fucking
Gears of War-y.
Oh yeah, it was weird. He looked weird.
What, was he ripped or something?
Yes, he was absolutely ripped in that movie, and it didn't play well on screen. It was awful. I didn't like it. The flashback scenes were terrible, up to and including a flashback, which was awful. It was terrible. It was the worst comic book movie I've ever seen.
My review is basically Frank's, but I didn't hate it as much as he did.
Yeah, to me.
But this I will say it's weird. There's a part in the story where Batman tells Superman's mom that they're friends. How are they friends? They were just. He was trying to kill him only minutes ago. Was he just trying to placate the situation because he was in a hurry? Or was there some cut content where Batman and Superman like, we both have Marthas for moms. We could be the Super Martha brothers. Is that we cool?
Yeah, no, I actually like that a little bit because it kind of jarred Superman back into reality.
I think – the reason they went
Did you guys see dark? That thing about this scene that was cut out for being too dark?
Yeah, they're going to add that back in to anyways, the R-rated.
I think the reason they made the movie so dark is so that the future – their movies could be lighter, I guess. Because they're trying to restore the world from darkness to light. I think that was the whole theme that Snyder was going – because Snyder's a Christian and he doubled down on the religious symbolism in this movie.
I agree. I think Snyder is the absolute – I thought Snyder was the absolute right person for Watchmen, but I think he's the absolute wrong person for the DC universe. I'm beginning to warm up to the idea of Kevin Smith having a lot of input on the movies because he's a hardcore fan. And
I'll tell you one thing. I'm more stoked for the Killing Joke than any live action.
Oh, absolutely. No
also,
question.
Also, I think killing off Superman as an introduction to the Justice League movie is probably the dumbest thing ever. Let's tie in the death of Superman into it so we can do the rebirth in the next movie.
Oh, they did the death of Superman storyline?
Yeah.
Like they sort of. I mean, sort
Doomsday
of.
They died.
So Doomsday did kill him in the movie.
Sort of. Yeah. They did not go the iconic.
He didn't die because they kind of like did a stinger at the end where he's not dead yet.
Right. They would have been better served to take a panel out of that comic book where Doomsday takes Superman and breaks his back over his knee. That would have been fantastic, but they didn't do that. So fuck them.
The funny thing is, all these bad reviews
Doomsday.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on. All these bad reviews actually kind of make me want to see the movie more because I'm like, can it really be this bad? I have to see for myself.
Yeah.
Also, I think the way they introduced Doomsday was absolutely retarded.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I'm going to spoil for you. They took the corpse of Zod and turned it into a zombie mutant thing.
Oh, it was awful. And the CG.
Yes.
The CG was awful. It would.
And he looked like a cave troll before he started getting his spikes and looked more like Doomsday.
Yeah, he looked like the cave troll from Lord of the Rings.
I heard about that. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, he looks like the cave troll from Lord of the Rings.
Yep. Cave troll that shoots lasers, which I don't think I remember him being able to do. So that kind of makes him like Nuclear Man.
Yeah, it was just awful. It was awful. And I'm going to give it a 1 out of 10 only because I'm intrigued by Wonder Woman. That is
I'm more kind. I'm going to give it a 5.
Wow.
And
a half. That's being super kind, man. That's like calling
5.
Maybe I'm not as emotional as
That's giving it a mediocre review, dude. That's like giving it a lot of credit. Like
it's honestly. Not bad, but it's not good either.
Oh god. To me it's the most awful comic book movie I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot, man.
I thought I was very ambivalent on fucking.
All right, let's get Breakman.
I wasted money on Sucker Punch.
Let's get Breakman because he has a review of Hardcore Henry, which I want to see really.
Sometime.
Yeah. Do we have Breakman back? Yeah, Breakman.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you see this in 3D or did you see this in IMAX?
Yeah, Hardcore what? Henry.
Oh, Hardcore Henry.
I know this. It was shot on a couple of GoPros, so I mean, I don't know that it would benefit from that.
Hey,
I kind of wish I could see it on IMAX. It wasn't in 3D either. I just saw it on a regular movie. Basically, it was first-person shooter. What?
Yeah, can you do it spoiler-free?
I'm going to do
it. Don't have time for spoilers anyway.
No, I'm doing real quick. I'm trying to give you a quick review on it.
All right, cool.
Basically, it's the kind of it's the kind of game I want. Like, I really want to play this game. Hardcore Henry. It's totally shot from the first person perspective.
It's what the Doom movie should have been, basically.
Right. It really is what the Doom movie should have been. He does kill a lot of people. Hardcore Henry is really proficient at killing people in lots of graphic ways, which is pretty fucking awesome.
But is there actually a plot?
There is a little bit of a plot, but this movie is not about story. It's about watching this. They did this is kind of amazing, I think, the way they shot this movie.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about like the actual process of doing it. I was like, that's pretty cool.
It does. There are a couple of dream sequences. Basically, they're memories that you're taken out of the first person for just like a moment. But for the most part, this whole movie is first person view, and it's done really well as far as the technical perspective.
The only thing I have problem with first person games is that's not how.
Let me do my first review. Person vision actually. Eric, I don't have a lot of time.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric, let's let Bray do his review.
What was I saying? The movie, if you like a lot of, like an action movie and you're just kind of want to put your brain asleep for a while and you just want to watch and you want to see people die in lots of different ways, I had a lot of fun with it. But here's my review of the movie. When I went to see Hardcore Henry, there were 6 people in the theater with me. When the movie ended, 2 of them had already walked out.
What?
I have heard one thing where it's like the review that they were talking about on Kotaku is like it's the kind of thing that could make a lot of people very sick. Mm. I mean, just motion sick.
A couple, the other 2 people I see didn't seem very happy, but yeah, that could be a very big thing about it. If you are motion sensitive in any way, like I've heard the Cloverfield movies, like Handycam, like this is done in a first person perspective. Like this movie is shaky at all times. He's fighting, he's punching, he's jumping, he's falling. The camera is swinging. If you're motion sick in any way, yeah, you should not see this movie. But if you like first person shooters, yeah, I fucking loved it. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun movie. It's not going to win any Oscars, but it was a fucking fun movie.
So what you're saying is this is the best video game movie ever, is what you're saying.
You know what?
It isn't based on a video game.
It's pretty fucking good.
Well, I was going to say, like the best video game movie that's not based on a video game that I've ever seen was Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Also known as Live, Die, Repeat. I mean, it's a really good movie that just didn't take off.
From what I've heard, that's a really good movie. So
you should watch it. Really, it's different. very good.
This is really light on story and more about like, hey, look at what we're doing from this. It really, when it starts, it like hits the ground running and doesn't stop for the most part.
It's kind of like Crank in that regard.
How long?
I like that.
Yeah, it's only like a hour and 40 minutes. Speaking of which, like
Batman Super Superman was too long.
Way too long. They could have cut out that shit at the end and been just fine. I'm not going to spoil it.
I've heard they could have cut out a good half hour and been perfectly fine.
Yeah. No spoilers.
So it's like Heat the movie. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. Heat was
all right, but it was too fucking long. If they'd cut out like an hour of that movie, it would have been fantastic.
I agree.
I don't even know what Heat is.
Oh, it's a good movie. You should watch it.
It was an action crime
drama movie.
Mm.
Yeah, with big name actors. Like, it was the first time they really paired De Niro and
Al Pacino and Val Kilmer.
Pacino, thank you.
Yep.
Henry Rollins.
Yes.
Yep. It was a good movie, man. Valcomer, it's worth watching. So, but yeah, cut out the about an hour.
I know a lot of people don't like Val Kilmer, but I like
Val Kilmer. I like Val Kilmer. I thought it was a really good
Val Batman. Kilmer was one of the best things, best parts of Tombstone. Tombstone,
yeah, absolutely.
That's true. That's very, very true. I personally, I like him. I think he's.
I like that movie.
He's an entertaining actor.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to about do it for this episode of RP Grinders. Thanks again for joining. Gripper, Dungeon Buster was in chat. Freak 5 was in chat. We did not get a visit from MXT this week. I wonder what he's up to. But anyways, it was fun. It's good to be back. It's a lot of shit I had to deal with last week. I was really sick, so... I'm glad to be back on the show, you know, to be honest, and maybe, just maybe, since I have so much free time on my hands now, I'll do some more GDPs. So, no promises though. No promises. All right.
Let's get some PSAs for plugs.
Okay. Eric, go ahead.
You can get Mega Man Legends 2 on the PlayStation Store. All right. And, I think, yeah, Shin Megami Tensei 4 on the eShop is, I think, $14 or $13 on sale, but that was the one that stood out the most to me.
Yeah. All right, what else?
You can check that out. But otherwise, you can find me at ArcaPachi on Twitter. I'm finally going to upload that Fire Emblem Fates unboxing video on my YouTube channel, 2018 Man.
There you go.
And I already mentioned the reviews, so that's all I have to say.
All right, let's go with Mug.
You can find you can find me on Twitter. It's at Moria Mug, MoriaMug.
Oh yeah, there's something I did forget last week that I wanted to mention this week, but I was on a podcast with Ask Wheels from RP Gamer. He does a podcast based on his old column.
You're two-timing us?
No, just moonlighting. Yeah. Don't get me fired like that Nintendo person.
Yeah, and he plugged RP Grinders.
That's
the reason
I don't buy it, but that's a different story for another day, maybe. But I also showed up on a podcast that Sky from Orange Lounge Radio does called Guys on a I think it was called Guys on Podcasts.
Yeah. Did you plug RP Grinders on both shows?
Yeah. I mentioned where I was from, so yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, we talked about RPGs, and it was like an interview format show, and they asked me a couple questions about RPGs.
Yeah. Cool.
And I did plug they asked me as a game to recommend to people. I plugged the Shadow Hearts series.
Yeah, that's a good one. There you go.
So I wanted to give them something that was I thought was good but obscure, because I hear lots of talk about people talk about all the Final Fantasy, you know, the common stuff. So I wanted to give them something less common. I mean, Dragon Quest kind of fits that bill, but it's also a more well-known name. So that's why I went with Shadow Hearts.
That's right. Cool. That's good. All right, Breakman, your plugs.
You can follow me at break_man and at RP Grinders. That's it.
You could
Guys on a Show, not Guys on Podcasts. Yeah, that's guys. So it's this podcast I've never heard before, but they've done it for a couple episodes or something. So yeah. It was unfamiliar for me. So me not remembering the name, forgive me for that.
I have not been on anybody else's podcast this week, but you can catch me on Twitter at Frank Branches. Of course, Breakman mentioned at RP Grinders. You can ask us questions, which we will definitely get to on our show. Freak 5 does it all the time. So if you have comment, concern, question, give it to Break on at RP Grinders, and we will definitely mention you on air. There have been rumblings of another Werewithal being made very, very, very soon. So if you like werewolf movies, we got plenty of stuff in store for you on that show when it comes out. What else?
I need to play the rest of The Wolf Among Us, and then maybe I could join you guys and do a review on it.
That would be fun. It'd be really fun. Wolf Among Us is a great game. Whatever you do, do not see Batman versus Superman. I don't understand the interest.
Or you know, just a Redbox radar version when that comes out. Oh, God.
Watch it when it comes on.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run it.
Yeah, watch it when it comes on your local channels. That's what
I'll do that.
Because then it'll be edited to hell, and you don't want that.
Oh, you definitely want that.
I don't really care that
unless
much.
Unless it edits to cut it for time and then make it shorter because it's way too long.
Absolutely.
I got to use these channels for something.
Then you have to deal with motherfucking snakes on them. Friday plane or whatever.
I got to spend so much money on all these fucking channels I don't use anyways. There's got to be some use for them.
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to DirecTV is what I'm watching.
No, or there you go. Netflix it because they'll probably be on Netflix or something. Yeah,
something like that. What else did I see? I saw something else really interesting. Fuck it. If I remember, I'll bring it next week. But until next week, take care, everybody. Stay safe this weekend because we really do want you to get back here next week and listen to us. Until then, we're out. Take care, everybody. We're out.